Hey friends, welcome to the Next Step Leadership Podcast, a conversation dedicated to helping you make your next step your best step. I'm Tracy Reynolds, and my partner for the Next Step journey is Chris Maxwell. Together we hope to inspire, assist, and create the confidence you need to take your next step in your personal growth, spiritual growth, vocation, or even your calling. Thanks for joining us. Well, come on, let's dive into this week's episode of Next Step Leadership.
Welcome again to Next Step Leadership Podcast. Chris Maxwell and Tracy Reynolds. Thanks to each of you who are listening. Thanks for the positive difference you're making in the world. You know, sometimes you may not feel like you're making much of a difference. You don't think you are, and we live in a culture where we're so stat-driven, numbers-driven. We're looking for immediate results, and we don't see them. We reach incorrect conclusions that we're not making much of a difference. But Tracy and I want to encourage you today. You're making a difference. And if you need somebody to talk to, pursue help. Don't try to lead alone. Have people beside you. And Tracy, I'm thankful that you're one of those friends that I have beside me. And then our guests today are those who have been beside me in a variety of ways in ministry. And I'm just thankful for the conversation that we can all have together.
Amen. Well, I feel the same way about you, Chris. Thank you, brother. We are going to continue a conversation with Eddie and Beth Taylor. And I think you probably learned in the first podcast, and by the way, if you haven't heard that, stop right now and go back and listen to that one, because it's formative about, man, the relationships and how they came to do ministry. And, well, there's so many nuggets of truth there. Yeah. You just mentioned one, not doing ministry alone. But we want to dive back into a conversation with them because God has them now in Waycross, Georgia. And it was cool. I got to spend time with them. I remember having a meal with their family when I was visiting an intern at their church. But their son, Jacob, was part of our Emmanuel College education team. He was born a student there, a student leader, a brilliant mind, and somebody I love deeply. So it's really cool to be able to continue this conversation with Eddie and Beth Taylor.
We're so glad to be back. Thanks.
Yeah, we are.
Well, you had gotten us kind of up to speed with most of your ministry and where you were, but man, now you guys are in Waycross, Georgia. Now, there's got to be the story to get back to Waycross, Georgia now.
There really is. When we left church on the hill, obviously we prayed and we really felt like almost like carte blanche. We could move anywhere we wanted to base our traveling ministry. And so we did what every sane person would do. We moved to the Orlando area. The weather's unbelievable. And we were 24 minutes from the shores of New Smyrna Beach and just loving our life there. And we lived right down the street from a couple of our mentors, Barry and Myra Goldfarb, and just really enjoying life and ministry. And we felt like God began to stir us about a little over 2 years ago. Our parents were aging. Beth's dad, my mom and dad, Beth's mother had passed away a few years before, and just opportunities. And so we felt like God led us to move back to our hometown to be closer to our families and help serve them in some ways, you know, when we're not on the road, not traveling. And so we did. We relocated back to Waycross, Georgia. And I didn't have any idea, but part of what happened through that was it opened a door for me to begin to develop a relationship with Chick-fil-A and to begin to do some leadership coaching with the local Chick-fil-A restaurant here in Waycross.
Very
so
cool.
It's just been an incredible thing, a pathway to develop leaders.
And honestly, the way that we ended up leaving, pastoring a church full time, was the Lord really spoke to us in 2017 to spend the rest of our lives preparing the underground church. And that was a curious thing to us, and we did less like we do with anything else the Lord speaks to us. We write it in our journals and kind of shrug our shoulders and say, okay, Lord, whatever you say, you're going to have to unpack this for us because this one didn't make sense. And then when 2020 rolled around, it made a little bit more sense to us. And he has been speaking to our hearts how we are to pour into the leadership of churches and help prepare people for times in America that we have never had before. And it all comes from a heart of joy. and peace. It's not, you know, the sky is falling, doom and gloom kind of a thing. It's that the church has always thrived throughout all of church history. It's thrived in persecution, in hard times, in darkness. And so that no matter what happens on American soil, the church will thrive. His bride will thrive. The issue with the church in America is that we're all spoiled because we're used to all the freedoms and all the, everything's been for the most part easy other than, you know, in-house contention. Wow. But we've enjoyed endless freedom here. And, so what if that comes to an end for the church, then what? And so that's one of the things the Lord's really called us to do.
I think it's pretty easy for us to banty about the phrase post-Christian America, but not understand what that might mean in its fullest measure. And I think that some of the favors and liberties that we've experienced through the years aren't necessarily guaranteed. And so part of our heart is to prepare leadership and then also resources to have the body of Christ in the West prepared that if our social and political dynamic would be more similar to that in cultures around the world, that we wouldn't shrink back, but we would, with the same kind of faith and courage, walk in levels of joy and peace and obedience as the body of Christ around the world, and as the body of Christ has historically.
Mm-hmm. So what are you guys teaching people? What are you emphasizing to guide us and prepare us for that time?
Well, if I just think maybe one of the easiest ways to start this was I became convinced in 2020 that if there was massive censorship over the World Wide Web and other media outlets, that most Christians could not study their own Bible without an expert. And so I developed a tool called Tools for Bible Study, which is a workbook which has seven very popular Bible study methods, the resources that I use to do that, an example of each, and a blank template that they can run on their copy machine or their printer or go to the local, you know, Staples or whatever, so that people could then, in both personally, in family devotions, small group devotions, begin to study the Word of God for themselves. Mm-hmm. And not be dependent on an outside source to study the Bible. So we wanted people, one of the things is we want people to be able to have a devotional life for themselves, to study the Word of God and to be able to dig deep in the Word of God and connect with God.
Well, so many people in the church don't have that because they weren't discipled. So they weren't taught to feed themselves. They go to church expecting to be fed like baby birds. And then they're disenfranchised when the church doesn't fit into the box they've built for it. And the church is never going to fit into a box. Well, it shouldn't fit into a box, but we're good at building boxes for humans. Yeah. And so there's really three things we believe that the church needs to know and understand. And number one is the Word of God, to be so grounded in the Word that no matter what other truth, and I'm using quotation air quotes here, is presented to us and told that that's supposed to be a truth. The only truth is the Word of God. And the second thing is the presence of the Lord, that as believers, we should be living in and from the presence of the Lord, knowing his voice, spending time with him, worship him privately, and have this intimate connection with him. And then the third thing is community, that we need community one with another. We need truth tellers in our life. We need people that'll come alongside us and say, hey, I love you. That's a little sideways what you just said. I don't see that in scripture. And call us on the carpet. Love us with the truth. Truth and love are not mutually exclusive. They're the same person, the man Christ Jesus. And so those are the three things that we hit on all the time. Mm-hmm. It might come in different, it might wear a different dress or outfit, but we're going to talk about knowing the Word, knowing him and his voice, and knowing one another.
Yeah. And we became convinced that so many leaders that we know, that we walk with, talk a big game of community when they're on the pulpit, but then they don't have community. Mm-hmm. And what happens if you listen to your own talk track, it can get to be a very, very confusing place between your ears. And so we've also tried to make ourselves available to the leaders that we have relationship with or to the leaders that God brings into our lives. So they have someone to talk about things with, to share their heart, their burdens, their joys. So we can, in a loving way, say, you know, get back in there, Tiger. Or we can say, hey, listen, I don't know if you noticed this, but you brought up Brother Fred a lot, and he's living rent-free between your ears. And so perhaps you have a little unforgiveness with Brother Fred, or perhaps you should release Brother Fred, you know, and just some of those kind of conversations with people. To, again, the Word of God, the presence of God, and the people of God. And I think sometimes we get tricked by American metrics, like you said, as you rolled in, Pastor Chris, you know, of numbers and noses, and we think everything's wonderful. But honestly, I can get a good crowd up with a concert and a TED Talk, but that doesn't mean that it's church. And so we
that Jesus was present at all.
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
You know.
And so a verse that just keeps reverberating with us, even as we try to, you know, be obedient what he's called us to, is he said, Matthew 16:18, I will build my church. That's right. I will build my church.
Yes.
And so we're trying to come alongside people in our personal ministry, in our coaching, our consulting, in our resources, to invite people into a co-laboring role with him or a partnership with him, and not the pressure and the weight that somehow it all depends on you. I think so many people, I can speak for Eddie. So much of my ministry, I was unhappy because I was carrying a burden that was not mine to carry. Mm. And no one, there's only one person in the universe that has the shoulders wide enough to carry his church.
That's right.
And his name is Jesus.
Boy, this is so good. Mm-hmm. I love what y'all are saying, because just thinking about those three components, the Word of God, the presence of the Lord, and community. Mm-hmm. Tracy and I, we're both serving at Emmanuel for years and doing other jobs on the side with writing and speaking, and Tracy involved on staff at a local church. And now we're both pastoring churches that we've been sent to places that we didn't seek to go, desire to go, plan to go, want to go. But God has put us both in places. And it's reminding us, it's just like this season of our lives, God has put us in a place reminding us, remember the church.
That's right.
Not the stage, not the show, not the noise or the numbers, but be the church.
Amen.
You know, we're interviewing you guys on a day after that I had a wonderful experience with the church that I'm pastoring now. And I'm just thinking that whole day to me was church, because we had the what we call the church service. Mm-hmm. Well, when that church service was over, then we had lunch together. And what was happening there to me was church. Mm. I mean, church was happening there as we're eating and laughing and sitting beside. I mean, I had conversations with people that I normally would not have. But as we're eating together, we were building community. Well, then it was like another church service, if we want to call it that. Last night, as I'm just texting different ones, say, hey, it was great to be with you, and them opening up in conversations. It was like a day of church, because that is community. So I love what y'all are doing. It is needed today. So thank you. This is good, Tracy.
Mm. You know, I'm also thinking about how much Jesus loves his church, that he would set apart you guys to be words of encouragement to us guys.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm included in that, and it is very encouraging. I just came from a meeting with my senior pastor, because I'm, like you said, for the last year, I've been in a church environment, and we're just, man, asking God. You know, I remember Henry Blackaby saying years ago that we're to discern where God is at work and then join him in his work, which requires being in the Word of God. It requires having intimacy with Jesus, knowing Jesus, and then knowing each other and having honest conversations about where we are. And a lot of that conversation I had before coming on the air was not all that comfortable, because it was based in reality, but it was also based in love, and it was right, and it was wonderful. So I just want to personally say thank you. You're making a difference.
Yes.
I just want to say it this way, Chris. Mm-hmm. You guys are making a difference in places that matter to Jesus. And I just want to say, for the body of Christ, not like I'm the consummate head of the body of Christ, because I'm not, but I just want to say to you, thank you. Yeah. We appreciate you, Eddie and Beth.
Yeah. Talk to us about your books and how your books are emphasizing y'all's hearts and how people can continue hearing from y'all and learning from both of you through your stories.
Thank you. First of all, Pastor Tracy, there's a lot of us on the planet that would vote for you to be in charge of the church.
But oh, that would be bad.
What happened after really just in kind of simple obedience and the nudging of Barry Goldfarb, which, Pastor Chris, you've been in the room with him. You know, Barry can be very influential. We self-published this Bible study workbook, and we saw the life that was on it and how it was helping people study the Bible, the feedback that we were getting, and how it left the ministry when we loaded the car and went to the next city. Or when we left the church experience, like you said, the worship gathering and came home, there was still a tool there. And I just became convicted, and I had another pastor talk to me one day, and he said something like, well, Eddie, it would be a sin. It was Pastor Craig Cooper in Dalton, Georgia. Pastor Craig said, Eddie, it would be a sin if the Lord took you home today and you didn't leave some of what he's planted in you here. And so I thought about different subjects. We both thought about subjects that he had emphasized us through the years. And so the next one was the book of Proverbs. I like to say this way. I got so tired of making stupid mistakes when I was in my 20s. And I heard someone teach that the book of Proverbs had wisdom for everyday life. And so I just jumped in and read and studied a proverb a day, because there's 31 chapters and a lot of months have 31 days. So I did a proverb a day for about 15 years. And so I just in 2022, I believe this was last year, started compiling my notes and just made, again, not like a commentary, not a deep Bible study, but just a devotional journey is what I call it, just to pique the reader's interest, to get them to dig the book of Proverbs for themselves. And then I produced reflection questions so that they could ask themselves and dig down. And I was pretty careful in the introduction to say, listen, you might see something that I don't see. That's okay. I mean, check it against the experts. Bounce it past your pastor. But the main thing is get into the Word of God yourself. And so we call it Wisdom's Way. And honestly, it's gotten great reviews, great help and response from people. And we're just very grateful for the way God's using it.
And then I'm actually been working on a book about the three Marys, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jesus, and Mary Bethany. I'm fascinated with intimacy with the Lord. I feel like Hosea 6:6 says, I don't want your sacrifices, I want your love. I don't want your offerings, I want you to know me. We were created to know him and make him known. It's really that simple. It's very difficult, but it's that simple. And so I just had a time with that book. And in the meantime, Eddie said, you have hundreds of essays you've written on leadership, compile that and get it out there. So I did. So Awake of Grace is really just essays that I had written over the course of probably 15 years on leadership and different aspects of leadership within the family, within the church. And so that's why I wrote Awake of Grace. And then we've most recently written The Glory of Advent together. We co-authored this one, and it's a 30-day Advent devotional. And we love
Me too.
Advent. We love the expectation of His coming initially and His coming again. You know, that's just exciting. I mean, I think the earth is groaning right now for His return. My goodness, if it's ever groaned before, it is now.
How do people find out about your books and pick up copies, and how do they contact you guys to invite you to minister?
Well, you can pick up the copies of our books from our website. It's really simple. It's taylorministry.com, and you can go to our store. Of course, they're available on Amazon and every other way. But honestly, it helps us with the ministry. It funds the ministry better if people pick them up from our store. But we want them to get them any way they can. So they can get them from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, any site. But if they would like to talk to us, if they'd like to set up an appointment to discuss some coaching or to bring us in to speak, Beth is a phenomenal leadership teacher, and she does incredibly well at family conferences and ladies conferences and leadership conferences. As you can tell, our listeners can tell, she is um, she thinks so strategically, so clearly. She always inspires me when I listen to her. And but they can just reach out to us through our website, taylorministry.com, and contact numbers, email, our social media. We're on Instagram and Facebook and YouTube. And it's just an honor to be able to serve the Lord and serve His people.
We minister together. We do a lot of tag team talking, speaking, preaching together too. So
we usually do about 3 or 4 marriage conferences a year. Churches contact us to host us to come in and do those, and they can reach out to us through the website.
Exactly.
And do that
well, as well. It's an honor for Tracy and for me to be able to have this conversation with y'all. And instead of me saying the final comments, just in the last 45 seconds or a minute, I want you guys to give some final words to our audience in this episode.
Well, I know there's so many people listening to, as we've listened to this podcast, that you're a ministry leader at a various level. And I just want to tell you, don't give up. Trust Jesus. Trust His presence. Trust His word. Trust fellow brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. Find people who are trustworthy that you can share your heart and life with.
And I would say to every age group listening to this podcast that we need one another. We tell our generation all the time that we need to be quiet and listen. I've learned so much from our 3 sons. They have taught me a great deal. Some of the things they've shared with me have not been life-changing, and other things have, and I'm grateful. And so we listen to the younger generation, and we know that we need one another. We need to. There's things to be gleaned, believe it or not, from those older than you. We have always found people older than we are, and we've pulled on them, pulled the gift of God out of them. We need to lean into each other and not let the division come that is being thrust upon us in the world today. That we need to lean into one another together, leaning into Him.
That is so good.
Yeah, you are a chosen generation. Not a multi-generation. We're one generation in Christ,
yes.
And we can learn from each other.
So good.
That's great. Well, we love you both, and we thank you for this time. Let's continue the journey of making sure that our next steps are our best steps.
Thanks for joining us on Next Step Leadership, a weekly conversation dedicated to your personal growth and leadership development. Chris and I are so glad you joined us. You can find us on your favorite podcast providers. Do us a favor and hit subscribe. And if you really want to help us, give us a rating. We so appreciate your support. Check out our show notes for more information regarding guest contact information. Tracy Reynolds' new book, Second Chair Leadership, How to Serve, Thrive, and Lead from Where You Play, is available now at ctracyreynolds.com or Amazon. Chris Maxwell's 11th book, Equilibrium, 31 Ways to Stay Balanced on Life's Uneven Surfaces, is available now at chrismaxwell.me or Amazon, where you can find all of Chris's previous books as well. Our featured music is by Casual Americans. You can find their musical releases at casualamericans.com or your favorite music supplier. We release Next Step Leadership each Thursday, so join us again next week on the Next Step Journey, a conversation dedicated to helping you make your next step your best step. Things fill my